The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Welcome to the weekend, a sunny Friday afternoon. Lots of news. How about that Susie Levine? I'll get to that coming up. But we have a lot of very intriguing issues for you this afternoon. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Ladies and gentlemen, the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That is the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Didn't even get to get into the real tune there. Why am I reading you the First Amendment? Because right there in the very first of all the amendments was the freedom of the press. And that was in there because it's our job to be a watchdog of government. And as you know, that's been my positioning since I went on the air, to be a watchdog of government. And if government officials, government employees, if they are saying things that I think need to be counterbalanced, then that's my job. And I'm talking about this because there are a lot of converging pathways that are coming together in what I think is one of the most significant stories in our region, and that is getting kids back in school. For months and months and months, I've been hearing from parents all around our region about the hardship. Their kids aren't learning. Kids are committing suicide and overdosing at record rates. They don't have school. They've lost so much socialization. They can't play sports. We're turning our kids into little zombies. And I find that to be incredibly sad. Child psychologists report that they are booked solid for months and months and months because the level of anxiety for our children is so great. Kids are taking anti-anxiety meds, anti-depression meds. It's not working. And then you have the educational part of things, where by every measurable standard, online learning is a dismal failure for most kids. There are some exceptions, but it's a dismal failure. So much so that school district after school district throughout our state has said, if your kid's got an F, we'll change it to a C, or we'll change it to merely a passing grade that won't count in their GPA, because they know online learning is failing so dismally, and kids aren't learning, and they don't want there to be any empirical evidence of a number of kids who are failing or a percentage that are failing. So they're just taking failing kids, and they are passing them. Again, we're not serving our kids educationally. And then let's talk about the parents that I've been hearing from for months and months and months. We've already put so much economic hardship on families, businesses closed, whether they're the owner of the business or an employee of the business. So many people are unemployed who, 1 year ago at this time, January of 2020, we had record low unemployment in America, but the pandemic has led so many parents to be unemployed. And then you've got all these parents who now have to watch over their kids as they're sitting at a computer trying to learn. And the parents, maybe they're working from home, but they're trying to make sure their kids are getting educated. And the parents are suffering tremendously. Kids need to be back in school, especially when there is no medical reason for them not to be. There's no public health reason for them not to be. And I bring all this up because yesterday, the Bellevue schools, I played a couple of sound bites from teachers and from the union president. They say they refuse to go back in the classroom until they get vaccinated. And here's one teacher. Her name is Cheryl. And she said, this will happen. She told Cairo 7, this will happen if she goes back in the classroom.
Anytime I go into the building, I'm putting my family at risk. So my husband, my kids.
Okay. And that simply is not true. I know that's what the union has been telling the teachers. And I know that because Allison Snow is the president of the Bellevue Teachers Union.
People feel like they're being asked to sacrifice their life just to have bodies in buildings.
The teachers are being asked to sacrifice their lives. Now, I'm happy to report we are scheduled to have an interview with the union president, Bellevue union president. We're hoping, we're having a little technical problem on her end with her phone, but we're hoping to have her on at 12:30 this afternoon to talk about the criticism. It wasn't even criticism. What I said yesterday is the latest gigantic peer-reviewed study from the American Academy of Pediatrics found that there are, in this study, they looked at school districts with nearly 100,000 staff and students who were back in school. And they found zero instances of children passing the coronavirus to adults during in-person instruction. Let me give you that number again. Zero instances of it. There were a handful of kid-to-kid transmissions, but they didn't get sick. They just got it. And there were some adult-to-adult transmissions, but they believe that that generally happened in break rooms when teachers took off their mask and were hanging out with each other. But the fact is that if the kids are not giving it to adults, then the teachers are much safer in a classroom than they would be at their grocery store or Walmart or Costco. Much safer if they limit adult to adult contact. If they stay socially distant, keep their masks on when they're around adults, as infrequent as that is for a teacher at the school building, then they're not going to get the coronavirus. So when I hear the teacher saying, I'm putting my family at risk, when I hear the union president saying they're laying their lives on the line, there is data that I have in front of me that contradicts that. And so let's get back to the First Amendment now. It's my job to not just accept what government tells us, and public school teachers, they're government employees. That's who, above all else, I'm supposed to be a watchdog of government. And if they are saying something, and if it keeps getting repeated, and if nobody balances it out, then we don't have an honest discussion of very important issues. Issues that are killing, literally killing children. And so I talked about all this yesterday. I talked about the study. And I also said that there is absolutely no question that it is easier for teachers to teach from home than in building. And I don't think anybody with a straight face could tell me that it's tougher. And that doesn't mean it's easy. I said it's easier when you don't have to deal with disciplinary problems and tardies and kids who are, you know, potentially violent. I mean, all they're talking about is K through 2. But, you know, like herding cats, it's easier to sit at home and do a lesson plan than to try to corral 20 kids in a classroom or whatever the per class count is. So anyway, yesterday I'm doing the show, I'm talking about all of this, and, you know, people say, what do you know about teachers? My wife works in a public high school. My wife talks to many public school teachers every single day. My wife's a college and career counselor. But everybody knows it's easier teaching from home. And when there's no public health reason, it's my contention that we got to get the teachers back in the classroom because that's what we're paying them for. And just because it's easier from home doesn't mean that's how it should be. When children are dying and they're getting anxiety and they're overdosing on drugs and going to shrinks. So something interesting happened as I was doing the show yesterday. I assume this was a Bellevue school teacher. In this cancel culture, I've dealt with this before, but an effort was underway to get me fired because I presented a study from Duke in North Carolina and peer-reviewed and put out by the American Academy of Pediatrics. And teachers want me fired for that. But let me read to you. This is the post that went out on Facebook. I was so disappointed to be listening to Cairo Radio today and hear Dori Monson speak so negatively about teachers. Okay, first of all, absolutely not true. I think great teachers are... a teacher changed my life. Fantastic teachers have had incredible impact on my daughter's lives. My wife's parents were both public school teachers. My wife works in a public high school. My wife was president of our school district's foundation to raise money tirelessly to enhance in-school programs. I coached in the public high schools for 10 years. So please don't give me this nonsense. But you can say anything you want about me on Facebook. And people who don't listen to the radio show, they can just look at that and go, "Ooh, yeah, let's fire this guy." Hear Dori Monson speak so negatively about teachers. He was discussing Bellevue's return to school plan today and that the teachers were on strike until they get vaccinated. All true. But with a false sense of authority, he gave his expert opinion, stating the teachers don't want to go back to work, that they prefer to do minimal work from home, that it's easier than having to teach in school, and that they just want to stay home and teach. They put all of those in quotation marks. I don't know if that's exactly what I said, but I wouldn't challenge any of that. I very well may have, because I'll defend all of them as true. It is easier to teach from home. Nobody could ever convince me otherwise. Back to the Facebook post. I personally don't like him or listen to him, but this comment was so offensive that I had to call the program director at the radio station and report it. Report? What, am I going to get suspended? In school suspension? I had to report it. Did I violate some zero tolerance policy at your school? Here is the contact info at the station in case anyone feels led to reach out about this. They were very appreciative to hear my concerns. And then they give the name and phone number and email address of our program director, who got many, 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 many messages. And they wanted me immediately fired because I listed an American Academy of Pediatrics study and said that I don't believe what is being said by government employees about why teachers cannot go back to school. But you know what really bothered me about this? I go through this every once in a while. Nicole, are you there? You with me here, Nicole?
Yes, I'm here, of course.
Okay, good. Thank goodness. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you've told me. Whenever, and hopefully I'm going to do this gig for another 10 years, at least, maybe 30. Who knows?
I hope so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But whenever I go, for whatever reason I go, you've said that you're probably not going to produce talk radio anymore. Is that right?
I don't think so. I don't know what else I'm going to do. But I just can't imagine a better combo. We're such a good team, and I just can't picture it getting better. I think I'll just move on.
whatever you choose to do, you'll be fantastic at it. But so Bellevue teachers who are trying desperately to get me fired for presenting some facts and some truth and some opinions that I'm certain are truthful. I mean, you're not just getting me fired. You're getting Nicole fired.
You're making me start over.
Yeah, you're driving Nicole back to square one. The girl's just got a mortgage. The lady, she's gotten a mortgage for the first time in her life. And you want to drive her out of work because I'm presenting facts and truth on the radio. So here's my question. Why do the Bellevue teachers want to get Nicole Thompson fired? What has she done to deserve your wrath like this?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, look, it's a free world. You can do whatever you want. You can reach out to our management. You can try to get me fired. I mean, that's freedom. I truly believe that. I don't lead boycotts or I've never been a part of I can't think of a time I've called for someone to be fired because I disagree with them. Maybe it's happened. I can't think of any examples of that. And look, I understand this is what cancel culture is all about, and people can't handle any dissenting opinions and dissenting views. I get it. But I also know that it's my job, first and foremost, to be a watchdog of government. And when government employees are telling us stuff about health risks that are affecting our children, and when children and parents are struggling to the extent they are, physically, emotionally, mentally, educationally, I don't appreciate this constant stream of we're going to die if we go back in the classroom. There is simply no evidence to back that up. And then have you heard, Nicole, have we gotten any resolution? Because I'll just tell people, we're scheduled to talk with the president of the Bellevue Teachers Union, and we're going to record it right before the show. Right as we were starting the interview, she said her phone was crapping out. And so now we said, well, we can do it live here at 12:30. Do we know if we're going to get her on here?
No. Even her people are having a hard time contacting her now. So I'm not sure where she is that her phone doesn't work. But it's very bizarre.
Well, she and I had a lovely 2-minute conversation before I started recording the interview, and it was working flawlessly for that. I mean, I'm not doubting that, but anyway, I would
We're
love
still
to
waiting.
Talk with
hopefully
her.
By the end of the show.
Yeah, yeah, and I know she was very pleasant to Nicole when Nicole contacted her to schedule the interview. But look, go ahead, try to get me fired. I understand it. But Bellevue teachers, you have to be able to hear. If you're going to teach children, you can't just hear one side of things and push that out as truth. And that's what I'm hearing right now. And I have some facts and some data that directly contradicts what you're presenting as truth in a debate that is unbelievably important to families throughout our region. I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Hopefully, we'll connect with the president of the Bellevue Teachers Union right after the news. If not, I will continue with the Big Lead. Susie Levine gets a new gig after losing $500 million. With Washington State unemployment. It's unbelievable. And we will get to that, or we'll get to the teachers' union next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, I'm sorry to say that we did have an interview with the president of the Bellevue Teachers Union scheduled. Phone went out for her when I tried to record it before the show. We've been trying to get it live for here at 12:30, but we are now not hearing back. So we'll continue to try. She seemed willing to do it. Okay, so I will just continue here with our big lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
One of my great listeners, who's been a great tipster over the years, his name's Joe. Joe had done a Freedom of Information Act request of Governor Inslee, and he wanted to see how many people have written the governor with eviction stories as landlords. And I bring this up now because in the news that we just had 2 minutes ago, Joe Biden said nobody should be evicted during a pandemic. Now, what they're doing, Jay Inslee's had an eviction moratorium in Washington. Joe Biden just signed a nationwide eviction moratorium. I understand and want to help out people who are financially adrift because of COVID-19. But it's an eviction moratorium for everybody. If they don't, you know, if they have the income to pay, but they don't have the morality to pay, then they can skip out. But what's even worse about this is it's government taking all of these landlords' private property. They're saying, yeah, I know you have an agreement between you as a landlord and your tenant, but we're going to step in. We're going to now take control of your property. We're going to say you cannot get any income from it. You're still going to have to pay property taxes. Let me share with you just I've seen over 200 emails that have been sent to Governor Inslee. And here's one. Governor Inslee, I'm a mom of a 4-year-old and now 7 months pregnant. My husband lost his income due to COVID-19, and we are struggling financially because we spent our life savings and purchased a rental property in the Central District. We depend on rent collections to make ends meet. Due to your eviction moratorium, our tenants stopped paying rent. In addition to the mortgage, I've had to pay for repairs and pay to learn that Seattle City Council passed an emergency ordinance extending the eviction moratorium a further 6 months past its June 4th expiration date. They sent this last fall. And by the way, they have extended it again. Jay Inslee has. As my tenants are prime age adults in their 30s who have income but just chose to not pay rent because they don't have to, their lease ends May 31st. They've told me they will not pay and will not vacate my property. How will I feed and clothe my children and pay my medical bills, my mortgage, tenant utilities and repairs? Please help. Please end the eviction moratorium. And instead, Jay Inslee has extended it. This is government stealing private property. This is a violation of the Fifth Amendment that says government cannot take private property without just compensation. And this is criminal. I had tears in my eyes as I read through many of these 200 emails begging the governor. These are people who've done nothing wrong as well. I mean, that's what Inslee and Joe Biden are saying. That we can't evict people when they've done nothing wrong. Well, yeah, if they still have an income and they're just choosing not to pay, they're criminals. And once again, you're legalizing crime. And you're committing a crime by violating the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution. And why a constitutional attorney hasn't taken this up by now is absolutely beyond me. Later this afternoon, I will talk to another one of the people who shared a story with Governor Inslee about the eviction moratorium. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
Yeah, we got this just before I went on the air. How about that Suzi Levine? Wow. Suzi Levine has been in charge of the Washington State Unemployment Office. It has been a disaster. As you've had tens of thousands of unemployed people in our state who were unable to get through for weeks, sometimes months at a time. We knew that the shutdown was coming almost a year ago. It was in March when they announced the shutdown. They knew the people were going to be out of work, and they had nothing to ramp up a system where desperate people could get their unemployment benefits that they deserved. And then in the midst of all of that, Susie Levine oversees an agency that somehow allowed Nigerian scammers to get through their security system and steal $650 million. And you know what happened there. They had a security threshold, and they lowered it for 1 month that would allow hackers to get in. And the hackers came in, stole $650 million, and then they raised the security threshold back to where it was after lowering it for 1 month, which is why I've always believed that this was an inside job. And I'm not accusing Susie Levine, but I think somebody on the inside played some role in lowering that. And they said, well, we lowered the security threshold to allow citizens to get through and have a better chance of getting their benefits. And none of this smells right to me. So anyway, you lose $650 million of your employer's money, the employer being you and me. You probably get fired, right? No, this is government work. Jay Inslee gave Susie Levine a vote of confidence, said she's doing a bang-up job. Fantastic. Now, of course, Susie Levine, she was a Democratic campaign bundler, raised tens of millions of dollars for Barack Obama and Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden. And it's always seemed to me that that's why and how she got this job that pays $180,000 a year. She said she was a tech expert, you know, worked at Microsoft and I think Expedia. But a tech expert, I would think, would not allow Nigerian scammers to steal $650 million taxpayer dollars. So she doesn't get fired, which was mind-boggling to me. But now we find out today she just got a new gig with the Biden administration. She's falling up. They won't even tell us what it is. They said details of her appointment will become available on February 1st. But I tell you what, if you raise enough money for politicians, you apparently are golden for the rest of your life. They will get you, you know, mid six-figure jobs. They will make sure that you can never be fired, no matter how much taxpayer money you lose. And they will look for ways for you to get promoted, bizarrely, in the midst of all of that. Susie Levine, in a nation that is racked by all sorts of unemployment problems, she is a modern-day miracle. Let me take a quick time out here. I will continue. Oh, I've got so much news. I've only scratched the surface here. Coming up next, Washington. We're number 37 when it comes to getting vaccines in the arms of citizens. Why is that? Got more coming up next. Dory Monson Show rolls on. Let's roll on. There is so much news going. I'm getting so many funny text messages about Susie Levine losing $650 million taxpayer dollars. And I appreciate a lot of people are saying, boy, you called it, Dory. You said she was going to go to the Biden administration. I said that months and months and months ago when I didn't even think Biden was going to get elected. But yeah, that's the way it's played out. It's crazy. It is crazy, man. Okay, up next in our very extended Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
Hey, we're number 37. I'm talking, of course, about the state of Washington. Now, Jay Inslee has made it clear that the mark of competency is being able to run a certain event.
I mean, they really can't run a two-car funeral when it comes right down to it.
I got to tell you, these people couldn't run a two-car funeral.
And then they're so incompetent. They can run a two-car funeral.
Nah, Donald Trump couldn't run a two-car funeral, but unfortunately, Jay Inslee can't run a one-car funeral. So Washington State got $5 million from the feds to implement and put into action a COVID distribution plan, and it has been an absolute failure. Q13 News has been all over this, and they talked about just how bad the vaccine distribution has been here in our state.
To see where Washington has gone wrong, we look to where others have done better. North Dakota is the best state in the nation.
By the way, let me pause on that. Both of my parents, born and raised in North Dakota, I spent a couple of summers in Mountain, North Dakota, where my mom was born, a little farm town in the northeastern part of the state. Spent time playing pinball in Byron's Bar there when I was 14 years old one summer. Of course, North Dakota's number one.
Administering doses at 74% of doses used. The keys to its success? They expanded phases earlier than the federal government suggested. They have a centralized state vaccine warehouse, and they heavily relied on local pharmacies.
So in other words, other states were able to devise and implement plans dramatically superior to Washington's. And again, I just find it ironic when you have two-car Jay.
I mean, they really can't run a two-car funeral.
Who for months, for 4 years, has been talking about incompetency from the federal government. And now we find out that Washington is in the very bottom of getting vaccines out to the people. What a shame. People are dying, Mr. Inslee, Governor Inslee. Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then the Fastest 15 is coming up next.